Hello, I am Crystal Craven, and I am a singer, a songwriter, and a worship leader, and I am passionate about sharing what God inspires. And this is your weekly devotional. Alrighty here, we are wrapping up Luke chapter 16 today. So let's go ahead and read. It is Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. And it says, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that your life in your lifetime received good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they come also into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' And he said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.'" Well, as this chapter moves along to a close, we shift from direct conversation with the Pharisees to Jesus now telling a story about a rich man and a poor man named Lazarus. Now, this section of scripture is really interesting because there is some question as to whether this is a real story or a parable that Jesus is telling. So, real quick, we're going to go ahead and dive into that real quick before we dig into the meat of this. So, is it a real story or is it a parable? Well, if we look at this compared to other parables that Jesus told, oftentimes we'd see a precursor given, such as in Luke 14:7, where it says, "Now he told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them," and then he tells the parable. And then also in Luke 15, verses 2 through 3, where it says, "And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them this parable." But in this section of scripture, there is no precursory context given. So in the parables that were clearly called out as parables, also no names were used in those, right? It was always ambiguous. But in this section of scripture, we're given the name of the poor man being Lazarus. And then even Abraham is also named in it. We are also given context that this place where the rich man ends up is a place of anguish, torment, and flames. Now, in Matthew 13, verses 49 through 50, which this was after Jesus told the parable of the net, it says that he added this to the end. "So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And then again in Mark 9, verses 43 through 48, in reference to temptations to sin, Jesus said this, "And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than for 2 feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. These other times where Jesus is referencing hell, it's literal. And in many examples throughout the gospel, Jesus would tell a parable and then give some kind of statement of truth, or something that would provide just a bit more understanding after the parable. And as he's talking to the Pharisees, and he's given them many parables already in very short succession, I believe this story of the rich man and Lazarus is actually a true story and not a parable. Could I be wrong? Of course I could be. Wouldn't be the first time. But does that change the truth of the context? Not at all. So with that, I tell you this simply because I'm going to approach this from a true story standpoint and not from a parable standpoint. All right. So this story continues in the line of thought that those who chose to embrace the life of the world now will end up in anguish on the other side of eternity. Now, this does not mean that we can't enjoy life and, you know, eat nice foods or whatnot, but that's not what this rich man was doing. The word in the Greek for clothed in, it actually indicates an investment into the clothing. And the purple and the fine linen indicate an extravagance of the attire that went far beyond just clothing to cover nakedness. And that phrase, feasted sumptuously, literally means to rejoice in lavishness. So in essence, the wording here is telling us that the rich man was not simply enjoying the life that he had been blessed with. The earthly pleasures were what he lived for. Now, that is a stark contrast to the way it describes Lazarus living. And it's not about the amount of money they each had. Okay, I do want to make that clear. We don't need to be dirt poor or have dogs licking our wounds to end up in heaven. That's not what this is saying. It is implied, though, that Lazarus had faith in God because when he died, it said he was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. Which often that can actually be referred to as, you might have heard it said, Abraham's bosom. But that is referencing a place of rest for those who had faith counted as righteousness before Jesus died on the cross. It was like a place of waiting that he would come down and get them. And it actually describes that he had descended to get them and then brought them into heaven. And that's referenced in Ephesians 4:8. And that says, when he ascended on high, he led a captive of hosts and gave gifts to men. Okay. Ultimately, the rich man here, he chose to live for the temporal, but we must choose to live for the eternal. Now, everyone eventually will realize the error of their ways, right? It's either going to be now, in which they repent and they spend eternal life in heaven, or it's once they die, but it will be too late, and then they'll spend eternity in hell. Now, I have heard many say that God would have to be a mean God to send people to hell. But here's the thing, God doesn't send people to hell. Jesus made this very clear in the conversation he had with Nicodemus back in John chapter 3. So right after John 3:16, right? That the verse that every Christian knows because that outlines salvation. But he followed it with, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, The light has come into the world, and the people loved darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. God doesn't wish anyone to perish. He wants them to come to repentance. God wants every single person to be saved through Jesus so much that he sent messages through his prophets and the law, and then Jesus came and fulfilled all of them. The problem has never been with God, but it's the lack of acceptance by people of the words that he gave through the law and the prophets. Jesus even told the Pharisees that plainly when he said in John 5:39-40, it says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." So, in this story, when the rich man wants Abraham to send Lazarus back to preach repentance to his family, Abraham tells him, "They have Moses," which represents the law, "and the prophets. Let them hear." Notice that the same message that Abraham told him is the same message today. One can be told the truth of the gospel, but they have to hear it for themselves and obey by repenting. If someone does not believe and receive salvation through what God has given, that mystery of Christ revealed, then nothing will ever convince them. Even Jesus being raised from the dead hasn't persuaded people. So if they chose to reject not even the greatest of miracles, right, then they will unfortunately reap the consequences of their rejection. Now, as followers of Jesus, how are we supposed to respond to a story like this? I mean, first of all, it should result in praising and thanking God for saving us from the condemnation that we deserve. And then second, we got a glimpse into the spiritual world through this, and an event in which a condemned man realized in his torment that he wished he could go back and have even just a moment of his anguish quenched. And then he also wanted to warn others who weren't dead yet. Now, unlike the rich man in hell, we know this truth now, like here and now. And we are still on this side of eternity, so we can warn others who aren't dead yet. And we should. We have the law and the prophets and the whole New Testament that brings that whole mystery of Christ together to understand how they spoke of Jesus. So let's remember this each and every day, so that when those opportunities arise to share our faith and the good news of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ, that we don't shy away for whatever reason. May we see not only the outside of people, but be willing to sacrifice our social comfort for the well-being of their eternal souls. And be good ambassadors for Christ as we allow God to make his appeal of reconciliation through us to a lost and dying world. For blogs, written devotionals, and originally written songs, visit crystalcravenmusic.com, and that is Crystal with a K and Craven with a C.